bring to you this morning. Joe had somebody lined up for this morning, and then that person had a conflict and is postponed for a week, and so he was casting about for somebody to lead the service, and I volunteered. But I want to make this interactive, and the thought that came to me, if we can get that first slide up, Bobby, is are we thinking about God? We're coming through the 4th of July, celebration of our country. It's a great country. It has problems. Boy, we know it has problems. But in the history of the world, this is probably one of the greatest times to live, unless you really liked living without electricity, without any kind of security, without medical advantages that we have today. It's an amazing country, and we celebrate that. We serve an amazing God. Do we celebrate who God is enough? And so I want to focus this morning on the thought about thinking about God. Who is God? Who is the God we serve? And if you could go to the next slide, Bobby. I took some of these thoughts from a man named David Hocking. I don't know if you can read that. It's in gray. He's been a famous radio speaker and wrote a lot of books. But I got some of his comments from a thing online called the Blue Letter Bible. And if any of you are looking for an online commentary, it's non-denominational. I find it really useful. You can link into commentaries from a whole lot of different places all on one site. And so I borrowed some of the ideas I'll be presenting from David Hocking. But I hope that the Spirit speaks to you through these words. So the Bible is full of messages about the greatness of God. We assume they're there. We all, you know, you read the Psalms, it's full of statements about God's greatness. And I'd like to look at just a few of those from the Psalms as we get into this. But before we do that, are there, yeah, pardon? Oh, Children's Church? We didn't know anybody was prepared to go down. Sorry about that. Yeah, I'm sure they'll be happy. Thank you, Bertha. So before I get into reading scripture, I'm wondering if any of you would like to share testimonies or thoughts on the greatness of God in your life. Is there anybody who'd like to speak up and or any other testimony you'd like to share? But I thought Lynn's song and our theme is the greatness of God. Is there something you'd like to share? Michelle? Thank you. Anyone else?
Version of
And I think to follow along with that, we never know how things are going to turn out. I'm sure in the midst of that ministry, she had no idea that she would end up writing a book that would influence Adrian and other people who read that book. And so as God moves in our midst, if we're open to his leading, it can go places we've never imagined, as long as we're working in his will. Somebody else? Doug? Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you, and we appreciate your ministry in the worship team. God does bless us richly as we give ourselves over to what he wants from us in life. I'm just amazed. Carol and I keep saying, why are we so blessed? Anyone else? Okay, let's start over here with Lucille. Thank you, Lucille, and it's your daughter who has Crohn's, and we want to keep her in prayer also. Gwen, or was it Gwen or Edith, or both?
Yes.
Thank you. I think many of you know I work as a researcher in orchards, and our research orchard is on a hill over in Highland. I can look down on Lamarck's house and on, can't see the river, but on to the Hudson River Valley to the east. And this time of year, when I'm making some pesticide applications, I'm often there at sunrise, and seeing the sunrise over the Hudson Valley is every time I see it, I say, Lord, this is just amazing. Thank you so much. And then yesterday morning, there was about 14 balloons or so took off from Poughkeepsie and were coming up over the Hudson River at the same time, not quite sunrise, but shortly thereafter. And so God really is good if we take time to think about it and reflect on it and to honor him. Let's see, Edith and then Hope. Hot air balloons, yeah. Yeah, with people in them.
Thank you.
Thank you, Edith. And Hope. Oh, I love Amtrak also. It's And we know that God loves us even when things aren't going well. We're caught in the human condition. There's physical illness. There's business cycles. There's all kinds of issues that come our way. But our God doesn't change. And as we recognize the greatness of God and the way He loves us, it's just fantastic. I want to run through a few thoughts this morning. First of all, just look at a few psalms where the psalmist recognizes the greatness of God. There's just an incredible number of, we can't begin to look at all of them, but let's just look at a few. And I think Bobby's left temporarily, but I've had this up on the screen. We'll flip through them later. Let me just read from Psalm 8. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The psalmist is looking at the creation, and you may not think of it this way, but we talked about the beauty. The psalmist says, the work of your fingers. Do you think of God as having created the universe with his fingers? And I was thinking of this today. Maybe you're into astronomy, or maybe you're more into what we've learned about life systems, about human beings and other forms of life. The psalmist couldn't access DNA databases and be amazed at what God has done looking at the kind of scientific things we have available today. The knowledge of how complex life is just continues to unfold. You may remember 10 or probably maybe 15 years ago now, there was a big push to decipher the human genome, figure out where all the genes were in the human system, and it was going to be this big breakthrough, and in fact it was. It's allowed all kinds of medical progress, and yet when they got all those genes mapped, they found out it wasn't all the answers they expected, because now the question is, well, what turns them on? There's genes that do this and genes that do that, but what is it that makes those genes turn on or turn off at specific points in your life? So the complexity of our creation continues to amaze us, whether you look at the universe, whether you look at your children, your parents, other people you love, whether you look at the intricacies of life. The psalmist recognized it 3,000 years ago, and we're still, if we take time, we're still flabbergasted today by the awesomeness of God's creation. If we go to the next slide, from Psalm 23, let them know that you, whose name is the Lord, that you are the Most High over all the earth. In our society, there's a lot of people who want to recognize and honor things. We honor our country, that's fine. You may honor the Yankees, I don't like the Yankees, but some people honor players on a particular a team, a sports team. And yet God is the Most High over all the earth. And when we, as long as we keep that in mind, it helps us to keep our focus in the right place. The next one, Bobby, from Psalm 96. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. And why are we going to do that? For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, above all other pursuits, if you wish to think of it that way. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Moving on to the next one from Psalm 145. And these are just a series of psalms that extol God for who he is. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you. Isn't that what we need to be doing? Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Go to the next slide. Unsearchable. Do you think of God as unsearchable? In this commentary by David Hocking, I found an interesting sort of thing that I'd never run into before. You remember the story of Samson in the Bible. Samson was a judge or prophet, is it written up in the book of Judges, who was born to a family or a husband and wife who had no children. They'd been childless for a long time. And Samson's, the woman who became his mother, prayed, and God answered that prayer. This angel, the Lord, appeared to Samson, I'm sorry, to Manoah, his father. And the way it's written, theologians believe that this was really Jesus Christ himself in his pre-incarnate form. And this occurs several times in the Old Testament, the appearance to Abraham, for example, and several others. But if you go to the next slide, in this account in Judges, This is Judges 13, 17 to 18. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "What is your name, that when words come, when your words come to pass, we may honor you?" The angel of the Lord, and again, this is God himself, said to him, "Why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful?" I think the NIV says, "Seeing it is unsearchable." And if you go to the next slide, I really like the description that, David Hocking gave to this. He said that this this term in English, we think of wonderful as being fantastic, terrific, really great. Oh, I had a wonderful day. But the best English word for the meaning of the Hebrew here is incomprehensible. It is too difficult to understand. When Manoah wanted to know what the name of the angel of the Lord was, he said, "It is too wonderful for you. The greatness of our God seen in that one word, wonderful, incomprehensible." Now, do you think of God as being incomprehensible? After all, didn't he reveal himself to us through Jesus Christ? Doesn't he hear our prayers? Is God incomprehensible? I think in some senses, God doesn't make himself opaque, but if we think that we are going to understand exactly who God is, we're kidding ourselves. And so Manoah, this man, said, "What's your name?" And God said, it's too much for you to comprehend. And God today is too much for us to comprehend. In that sense, he's incomprehensible. And yet our society says, well, you know, I don't want to believe in God if I can't understand him. And in a sense, knowing a name is having control. When Carol and I traveled to China back in 2005, one of the side events was to go to the Great Wall of China. And there's a village at the base of the Great Wall, at least the part that we visited, where people make their living by accosting tourists. And so we got out of our tour bus, and it was 80 Americans, and I thought, I'm sure they thought, boy, our day is made. But these peddlers came up, and they immediately wanted to sell us things, and we wanted to see the Great Wall. And so Carol was accosted by this one small Chinese woman, and Carol said, "Well, when we come down, maybe I'll buy something." And the woman said, "Well, what's your name?" And Carol thought, well, what's the big deal? She said, "Carol." The woman wrote it down, and when we came down, she picked out Carol because she had the name. She owned Carol by virtue of having had her name, and that was almost a commitment. And I think in the Old Testament times, it worked much the same. So Manoah wanted to know, who are you? And God said, it's too wonderful. It's incomprehensible. So God is incomprehensible, and people in our society rebel against that when it comes to religious issues. And yet we don't rebel against it in other parts of life. If somebody came up to you after church and said, "Hey, I don't think you're aware of this, but you were a winner in a contest for a new Porsche Super Sport car. I forget the number. I think it's 977. They're all making less than 1,000. They're priced at $1.4 million, and you're the winner. Here it is." Probably most of you wouldn't say, "Well, I can't take that because I don't understand how it works." We accept the technology. We get in a car and drive it. You don't insist on seeing all the parts laid out and knowing how they work together before we accept that. But when it comes to Christian faith, too often people say, "Well, I want to understand it, and God isn't fair, and God doesn't work the way I want him to." No, he doesn't, because he's incomprehensible. God is incredibly great. Let's go to the next slide. As we think of that word wonderful, meaning incomprehensible, it adds depth to a number of other verses. Robert, could you advance that to the next slide? there's quite a lot of verses where it calls God wonderful. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful. He is wonderful in counsel and knowledge. Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things. Again, if we use that Hebrew concept of wonderful being beyond comprehension, all these verses expand to give us more meaning of who God is and how great he is. So let's move on to the next facet of God. God is incorruptible. And we're going to go through four terms that start with I this morning, so I'll speed through these last few. But God is holy and eternal. What is the alternative? The next slide, Robert. Garbage. If you think about it, everything secular that we value in life ends up being garbage. Or it degrades, it corrodes, it declines. We as people end up in graveyards if Christ doesn't come back before we die. There is nothing that is incorruptible apart from God. So as we think of holy and eternal, wow, it's just the antithesis, the opposite of what we experience in human life. God is incorruptible. The next slide. God is incomparable. I think we all know that. You're all faithful people here, and you know that God is beyond compare. But let's just look at a couple verses. From Ephesians, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but in the one to come. Incomparable, there is, or incomparable, depending on how you prefer the pronunciation, there is no other existence, no God who can compare. The next slide. Let's see, why don't you skip over that one? Okay, God is also incarnate. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Very complex phrase from Hebrews, but think about what it says about our God. He is all powerful, but he appointed his Son incarnate, came in the flesh as a human being to love us and forgive us, die for us. We can think about God as great and untouchable, incomprehensible, but that God has made himself available to us through his Son. To me, that's just absolutely the most amazing part of who God is. Two more short sections of verse. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we talk about creating the moons and the sun, the cosmos with his fingers, and yet he came and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And from Philippians, who being in the form of God did not consider it a robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of man. The omnipotent, omniscient Creator, all beyond our comprehension, took on human form, came to die for us. How great is our God? And finally, what are we called to do? The last slide, Robert. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Several of you spoke about how God is with you in the down times. This speaks to that. He hears us in our time of need. We could do another whole presentation on what Jesus said about praying, how Jesus prayed, and what Jesus says in John 14 through 17 about how God answers prayer. But we can go to the throne of this incomprehensible, incorruptible, incomparable God. And because he was God incarnate and came to die for us, he honors our prayers. He hears them, he answers, and he loves us. Let's pray. Father, I'm just overwhelmed this morning by the privilege of being called to serve you. Lord, each of us should be just amazed at what a mighty God you are. And yet in that incredible power and glory, you came and loved us and love us individually. I thank you and praise you, Lord, and I pray that you would bless our church as we serve you faithfully. Lord, the world needs to know you. We are your ambassadors. Prepare us, prepare our hearts to serve you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. I think we have a closing song.